My burden was this morning that we would be aware of how poison works and the poison that the enemy has out there for us. And I'd like to just reiterate a couple points, maybe, to try to help us get back into that train of thinking. Poison can come in the shape and the form of profane and vain babbling that we read about in 2 Timothy 2. And we read there in the 17th verse, it says for us to shun, or so I think it's 16th verse. Maybe we ought to turn there and read that real quick. Started out in 2 Timothy 2, it talks about study to shew ourselves approved. We need a good foundation so we can discern right and wrong. The 16th verse says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. We find that the enemy has poison in the shape of criticism, fault-finding, false doctrine, and he would like for it to incrementally permeate us. And the only way that's going to do that is because we keep going by, back and getting a little more. We talked about how rat poison works, and rat poison is something that, as a general rule, is intended to be somewhat slow acting, several days, maybe a week to bring the death of the rodent. And how that they have to go back and eat more, and several times they have to nibble on the rat poison before it comes to bring its fulfillment. But I'd like for us to realize that the enemy likes to have that kind of poison out for us too. We don't really realize we're being poisoned. We don't. He wants to interject things in our lives incrementally and slowly till we eat a little more and a little more and a little more, and before we know it, we find that we are expiring, we're dying spiritually. We read in Matthew the 13th chapter about how unbelief hinders. Because of unbelief, Jesus was greatly hindered, not able to perform mighty works in his hometown of Nazareth. And unbelief is a poison that'll sap the very power of God in our midst and in an individual's lives. We find that in 1 John, the 2nd chapter, we was reading about love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And I kind of redefined that and used the word of the poison the devil has out there is sensual poison. He has the poison of the attraction of beauty, and he has the poison of affluence. And all of those types of poison that the devil has for us, he wants us to become attracted to it. He wants us to become he wants it to be palatable to us. One of the things that we used as an illustration is how that antifreeze that doesn't have the bittering agent in it, ethylene glycol, is very sweet. You couldn't find a better sweetener as far as how sweet things would taste if you would put ethylene glycol in it, but it'll kill you. It'll cause you to start having symptoms like you're intoxicated and other symptoms, and it'll eventually lead to kidney failure, and you'll die if you drink too much ethylene glycol. The enemy wants sensual poison. He wants this poison of affluence. He wants this poison of wanting things that are catering to just the beauty of whether it's the flesh or the things or whatever. It's a poison if we're not careful. I'm not saying we have to have a certain amount of ugly to be godly. That's not what I'm saying. But we have to be careful that we're not poisoned with the lust of the eyes or beauty that the devil has out there. So I told you this morning I'd like, if we can, to talk about the antidote. The antidote for, I told you that my uncle years ago had swallowed some gasoline, actually got it in his stomach instead of his lungs. If he got it in his lungs, he probably would have killed him. But he got it in his stomach, and he drank a lot of milk, and that seemed to be a good antidote to some extent, but he still... he had some complications. It was not a good thing. And his body was able to recover. And he lived, still alive today. But there's an antidote for the devil's poison. There's a lot of people that have been poisoned, whether they have been poisoned by the devil's things that attack the physical body, or whether it's like insecticide that attacks the nervous system in the mind. I think a lot of times our greatest danger, especially for those of us that have been raised coming to service and been around the saints for a number of years and all, I think the greatest thing is the poison that the devil wants to put in our head. And he wants our nervous system and our thinking to be poisoned to where things don't look like they really are. Or maybe he wants just what we see to be contaminated in our mind. And he wants a disconnect to happen. That's what happens when you spray insecticide on an insect. Most of those, there are a few of them maybe that bring death to the insect by attacking their digestive system. But by and large, insecticide attacks their nervous system and causes them to begin to do things involuntarily, or can't do things that their mind is telling their body to do, and consequently ends up in them being in dying. So the devil attacks our thinking. He wants to get inside our head. And many of us, if we're not, we all are exposed to poison. And we read there in 2 Timothy about to shun the profane and vain babblings. And one of the things we tried to stress this morning is how it's important for us to recognize that when we're exposed to poison, that we don't embrace it. And that we don't develop an appetite for it. And we don't just incorporate it and embrace it into our lives. But we recognize it and we begin to shun that thing. And that's one of the antidotes for it. That's one of the ways that we can protect ourselves from the effect of poison. But I was thinking too of over here in Mark. There's a scripture that maybe... haven't ever thought about using it like this. I hadn't either, but it seemed like the Lord brought it to my mind. In Mark, the 16th chapter, very last chapter of Mark. And the writer here wasn't a disciple, wasn't a contemporary with Peter, James, and John. But it's very likely that he was way too young when Jesus was here for him to ever have any personal recollection of Jesus. But he was a close confederate or a close associate of Peter. And Peter, of course, was there. He was very much involved in being Jesus' disciple. And he's the one that denied the Lord and repented. And many feel like that the Mark's gospel is the account that he got from Peter, and how that Peter was given Mark all of the details about what it was like to be with Christ and all of his experiences, and Mark wrote them down. And in one place, well, we know that Mark in one place was called John Mark, and John, I believe, was his Hebrew name, and he took the name Mark because it was more acceptable in the Greek culture. In one place, Mark is referred to as, not in the scripture, but a commentary says that Mark was Peter's translator when Peter was going out and spreading the gospel. So I don't know if Peter, we know Peter was a fisherman, and as a general rule, we don't think of fishermen as being highly educated people, but sometimes they speak more in one language. I don't know, but I don't know all the details, but somebody thought that Mark was Peter's translator. So anyway, Mark wrote this gospel. Most likely his details came from Peter. And in the 16th chapter, he gives us a real brief summary. And I'd like to begin in the 9th verse of the end of Jesus' time here. In the 9th verse, he says, "Now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week," this is after he had been crucified and put in the grave, of course, "he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went out and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. And after that he appeared in another form unto two of them, as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen." So I'd like to pause here and say the poison of unbelief had affected the very disciples, had it not? And they got exposed to it, and they were somewhat affected by it because they were finding it hard to believe that Jesus was really risen from the grave. Although he had told them he was going to, they were having a little trouble. So there was a little bit of effect of the poison. And when Jesus came, he upbraided them, or he challenged them. He maybe asked them, you know, "Why is it that you didn't believe and didn't accept that?" And anyway, and he said unto them, here's a commission he gave to them after he upbraided them about the poison that had got in them. He says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." I'm very interested in this 18th verse where he says, "And they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Now we know that Jesus was not an advocate of us tempting the Lord. He told Satan, you're not supposed to tempt the Lord. And Jesus would not want us to do things on purpose. I'm very much opposed to people bringing snakes to church. That's not scripturally sound at all. It's not expedient. It's not wisdom. It's not proof of anything other than you're wanting to put on some kind of exhibit. All right? But there are things that we are exposed to, either in the old life of sin or because it comes to us in our daily walk. There's poisons that comes to us, and sometimes we don't realize it's poisonous. We don't realize the poison that maybe is in what somebody has told us. And we don't realize the poison in an idea that's presented to us. And maybe we don't realize the poison in something that we have read. But as we go along a little ways, we recognize there is something here that's causing us to look at others with suspicion. There's something here that's undermining my faith and my belief in God. There is something about this that I recognize is poisonous. And this scripture tells me, these are Jesus' words, that if they take up serpents, something that could inject poison into my system, or if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. There is an antidote in Jesus Christ. We can come to Him and say, Lord Jesus, I've got a hold of some poison here. I recognize that I've allowed my mind to drift down into this poison of sensual things. There's a poison out there that is so close to us. It is so available. It's right on the other side of it's on the other end of all of our mobile devices and our everywhere. The internet is full of it. And if we're not careful, we'll have something show up unbeknownst to us. You can have all kinds of filters and guards, and there'll be something that'll present itself some way, somehow, even at the best. And if we're not careful, the devil will be able to tantalize us with something that's poisonous. But I'm telling you, we can come to the Lord and say, Lord, I got a hold of something here that's deadly. I've handled a serpent and I didn't realize it was a serpent. But I need. He says here, if they take up serpents and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. And we can come to Him for the antidote, for whatever our trouble is. If we come to Him and say, Lord, I didn't realize that this was this desire I had to provide for my own family and do the very best job in my occupation. I didn't realize there was poison out there. And now I've got myself in a position to where I realize that I'm craving prosperity and affluence more than I am a close relationship with You. Lord, I need some help here. I realize there's poison coming in to my system. Lord, help me with this. I don't want this thing that I've taken a sip of to cause I don't want it to cause kidney failure. I don't want it to cause my blood stream to not be able to coagulate. I don't want my nervous system to go on the fritz where I can't have control of my functions and all. I don't want to be dead spiritually. He says here, He wouldn't let this stuff kill us. He said He would be there for us. And then I thought of the time that there was I believe it's in Mark, the 5th chapter. It's in Matthew, it's in Mark, and it's Luke. But we'll read Mark, the 5th chapter, I believe. Or someone that was very poisoned came to Jesus. Mark 5, I believe, beginning in verse 1. It says, and they came over into the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Now, if you got an unclean spirit, that means your spirit has been poisoned. All right? It's poisoned with something that's not natural. God didn't make man with an unclean spirit. He created man in His image. He breathed into him the breath of life. And if you got an unclean spirit, it's because you've been drinking poison somewhere along the line. And he says, and when he came out of the ship, there was a man with unclean spirit that met him. The 3rd verse says, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him. No, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." And Jesus, when he spoke to this man, it appears here that the man was speaking to Jesus. But Jesus seen past the man and seen the poison. He seen past what was coming out of his mouth. And he cared for this person. He seen this man, this to cut himself with stones and to live among the tombs. This was not a very pleasant existence. It says he was a wild man. They would hear him crying and hollering and carrying on up there. They tried. People had tried. You know, there's people that have tried to subdue unclean spirits. There have been people that have tried to work with those that have been poisoned by the enemy with appetites, whether it's an appetite for some kind of drugs or appetites for sensual things or appetites for whatever it is, the poison that the devil has out there, it can make wild people out of normal people. And there's been those that have tried to conquer that and refocus that and train it. And I want to tell you, you get somebody that's under the influence of the devil's poison and you try to confine them, and it don't work very good. They'll break out. They'll cause destruction to themselves. They'll hurt other people. They'll damage property. They'll bring chaos wherever they go. I believe this man, wherever this man was, others just kind of had to stay away from him, give him a level of clearance. They knew if they come close to him that he would do somebody harm. He was poisoned, you see. But he came to Jesus and he says he worshipped. I believe he bowed down to him. But he knew that Jesus had the power, you see. And he came into Jesus and he worshipped him and he cried out with a loud voice. And Jesus, he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." When we recognize that we have been poisoned, we recognize that we're under the effect of poison, and we come to the Lord and we humble ourselves, we worship Him and say, "Lord, what have I to do with it? Where do I go from here?" And when we come and bow down before the Lord, you know, the Lord can go right to the poison. He can command that thing to come out of us. But we have got to get in a position of worship. You know how much good it would have done for somebody to try to tie this man up and take him to Jesus? It wouldn't have worked. He would have broke out. But when Jesus came into his vicinity and he come, when Jesus landed, this man didn't run off and hide somewhere. He come to Jesus. It says this man, he was met by this man. Isn't that what he said? He says, "Immediately met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit." Jesus come to the shore, and this man come to meet him. And here's the deal. When you and I recognize, I'm not saying we have to get in a position like Legion was, but when we recognize that we're having some symptoms of poison, we're feeling the effects of poison, when we take that and we come to the Lord's presence and we bow down and worship before Him, He can address it and He can take it out. We're not going to be able to take our poisoned relatives and drag them to Jesus. They're going to have to want to go. We can't take our poisoned neighbors, we can't take others that are poisoned. They're going to have to want to go themselves. But when you and I come, this is the antidote for the poison of the enemy. If we will come to the Lord and bow down before Him in worship, He'll be able to speak to the problem and say, come out of there. You know, most of the time if you ingest poison, one of the warnings on a lot of things that are poisonous, it'll say, don't induce vomiting. And I've often wondered, why not? If it went in that way, and you know it's bad for you, why wouldn't you want to spit it back out? But there's complications that arise. You know that the stuff that rats take in that causes phosphine gas, if they were to vomit it out, the acids in the stomach causes the things that they swallowed to turn into gas, and when it comes out, there's a chance of it spontaneously igniting when it hits the air. Did you know that? And here's the thing. Another thing they're concerned about is in the course of vomiting something out, you could go into your lungs. And that'd be worse than in your stomach, maybe. But the thing that we got to get a hold of is, instead of trying to fix this poison thing in our own strength, we go to the poison control center. Don't try to fix this. Well, I'm going to turn over a new leaf and I'm going to be different. No, don't try that in your own strength. I believe in changing with the help of the Lord. I believe we can change. I believe we can get rid of the effects of poison. But it's not by, well, I'm going to be different. I'm going to be better now. Because we're setting ourselves up for failure. We're the one that got in trouble with the poison in the first place. So how are we going to get rid of something that we chose to put in our mouth or put in our head or put on in our lives? How are we going to change that in our own strength? We're going to have to be like this man. We're going to have to be like the man that came with his son. And the Lord said, what did he say about believing? He said, all things are possible to him that believe. And the man said, Lord, I believe, but I got to confess to you, there's some unbelief. This is a big one. And I need some help with unbelief. And when we come to the Lord and we say, Lord, I need an antidote. I've been poisoned with some unbelief. I've been poisoned with some of the other things that the devil has out there. And I need help. You know, you might go to some poison control center. You might call them up and say, I've swallowed whatever it is. And it says, don't induce vomiting. And they might say, well, go in and get your stomach pumped. They might say that. But they try to do it in a manner to where there's no chance of it getting into your lungs, you see. The thing that we've got to understand here is that when we come to Jesus and we come to the Lord and say, Lord, I've been poisoned. I've been nibbling on this thing and I didn't realize that it was going to cause me to act like I was intoxicated. And I didn't realize it was going to cause me to start having symptoms of hyperventilating or symptoms of something else shutting down. I didn't know it was going to cause some kind of nervous twitch in my body. But I need some help. My spiritual body. I need some help. I need deliverance. And whatever it is, the Lord can speak to it just like He spoke to this man. And He didn't address the man and say, well, you go straighten your life up and come back when you're better. He didn't say that. He said to the unclean spirit, come out of the man. Come out of the man. And when we come to the Lord with our poison, the Lord can take it out of our system. I am so thankful for that. I want to tell you tonight, Jesus is the antidote. If we ever get exposed to poison, Jesus is the antidote. I want that antidote to be in my life. I realize that I live in a poisonous world. We all do. There is poison all around us. There's poison that wants to creep in through our skin. There's poison that wants to go in through our ears. There's poison that wants to go through our eyes. There is poison that the enemy would like for us to literally pick up and ingest through our mouth, our nostrils or something. But I want to tell you, all of those things, whether it's drug use, whatever it is, the Lord is the antidote. And He can cause that thing to come. He can give us a deliverance. He can take desire. He can take appetites away from us. But even more than that, He'll give us wisdom to know how to avoid the poison. Help us identify where the poison's coming from. I desire your prayers. I want to be free of poison. I want to be free of poison. I don't want poison to affect me, distort my thinking, and cause me to be shipwrecked in my spiritual life. You pray for me.